Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk listeners, this is Chocolate Lady 64, and I'm hoping you guys are having a great week. It's almost over. It's hot outside. I'm hoping you guys still is enjoying the day. Okay, tonight I had a great opportunity to interview a Miss Elaine Flowers. This is a pre-recorded interview. Okay, so I want you guys to sit back. Relax, listen, and I want to remind each and every one of my listeners that this show is for mature audience only. So some of the topics and some of the interviews will have some very adult conversation going on. So I advise you not to listen to a lot of my shows with kids, okay? Only mature audiences are allowed. Let's get into the interview, and I hope you enjoy. And please send me any type of comments. You can leave comments on my blogtalkradioshow.com, or you can leave comments on my Facebook page, / Lita McCall, or you can send me some emails, sensible64@yahoo.com. Those areas will be the places that you can send me comments. Okay, let's get started. Okay, this is Chocolate Lady 64, and I'm here today with Elaine Flowers, the author of I Wouldn't Mind Having a Husband. I Just Don't Want to Be Somebody's Wife. Okay, Miss Elaine, how are you today, ma'am?
I'm great, and how are you, Selena?
I'm doing just fine. Let's start off the interview by letting me find out a little bit more about who you are and what you are about, okay?
Okay, well, that's a loaded question, but we can start there. I am a full-time writer, and I do have 3 works out right now that are available. And another coming out at the end of the year. I have 2 works of fiction and 1 nonfiction book, which is the one that we're going to be discussing today.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I am a retired hair stylist and salon owner.
Mm.
But I have been at this new gig of mine for about the last 8 or 9 years.
Okay.
And I do this full time. It was a hard transition, but I am thoroughly enjoying myself. This is what I've always wanted to do.
Mm.
And now I'm doing it.
That's awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have 2 adult children, a daughter, Karen, and a son, Washington. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. When you made the decision to write this particular book, what guided you in that direction?
Okay, well, that's an excellent question. From the 20-plus years of me doing hair, you know, a lot of times hairstylists are, you know, nothing more than therapists and everything else that goes along with the hairstyle. And I was always having clients, and then some of my friends as well who maybe weren't clients, who were single, never been married, and all they could talk about was getting a husband and having a husband. Well, I've been divorced for 20 years, and I used to think to myself, oh, Okay, now, if they knew how much work was involved, would they be walking around and can't stop talking about having a husband? I mean, I just thought, wow, maybe if they knew. And so that was what gave me the idea. Now, after I was divorced, I just swore that I would never, ever, ever do it again. I just thought, that is a trick I will never fall for again. Then after a little time passed, I thought, excuse me, I don't know what's going on with my throat, but excuse me. Well, I wouldn't mind having a husband. I just don't want to be somebody's wife. Uh-huh. And so I used to say that all the time. Decided to use it as the title of the book because, for one, I thought that it would gain attention. And also, when I would say that, the only time I was thinking about having a husband was for selfish reasons. And I think that a lot of times, women who have never been married, they think about having a husband for selfish reasons. They want to have a husband. They want someone who's going to pay their bills. They want maybe to have sex on a regular basis without guilt. They want someone to come along to cure their loneliness. And in my opinion, those are all for selfish reasons. It's not about joining this person, because I believe that marriage is a ministry, and I just don't think everybody is called for it.
And so,
you know, all you can think of is the romantic side, or, you know, the how much this is going to make me feel better, and then about the loneliness thing. When I was married, that was probably the loneliest time of my life. So marriage is certainly not a cure for loneliness.
Exactly.
Those are the things that really kind of prompted me to write this book. And like I said, it was my first attempt at nonfiction. And, you know, it took me several years to put it together, but I'm really pleased with the outcome, and I'm very pleased with the feedback that I get from it. I do have a lot of single, never been married women who think that the book is going to be telling them not to desire marriage, and that's not what the book is about. It is really to help them prepare and understand what marriage is all about, and you know, to help them gather the reasons of why they, you know, in particular, want a husband or want to be married, as opposed to just, you know, telling them that's not for you, because that's not it, because I think marriage is a wonderful institution, but I just don't think that everybody is called for it.
You know what you said? I wish I had this book before I made that decision, because I got married at the age of 38. And all the reasons that you said, I really, to be honest with you, I really don't remember why I got married. I know that's sad, but it's the truth. I really don't know why I got married.
Well, you're not alone. There are a lot of people who do it because they think that, I mean, the way our society is set up, it's set up in couples, or yeah, you should be in a couple.
Exactly.
Yeah, singles are frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think, you know, there's a certain progression in life. You know, you're a baby, you grow up, you go to school, you graduate from school, then you know, if you go on to higher learning, great. But if you do or if you don't, that's around the time when you start looking for that couple, that person to complete the couple with you for life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you have children, then you raise them, then you die. I mean, you know, we just have this progression that we think things are supposed to go in, and that's not necessarily true for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that if that's not the path that you're supposed to be on. But, you know, a lot of people end up in marriages and they're miserable, or, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things that I think we don't really give a lot of time to for us to discuss. Because we're just so dead set on this is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to get a husband, or, you know, even men supposed mm-hmm. to have a wife. And
mm-hmm.
so, well, and actually, I think most men are supposed to have one, but anyway, that's something else I want to admit. I really think that men need wives more than women need
husbands,
but that may be for themselves.
So let me ask you this. Do you realize that people say that men are not monogamous? Do you believe in that?
I believe that they have a greater capacity to need multiple relationships.
Okay.
For the most part, women, and I do talk about that in the book, I mean, for the most part, women, if we're getting everything we need, we're satisfied. We, you know, and sometimes even when we're not getting what we need, we just make peace with it and we, you know, just go on with, you know, with life.
Mm-hmm.
But men, for some reason, they seem to need more attention. They crave it more than we do.
Mm-hmm. So we need to stroke their egos more. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah, they need their ego strokes more than we need ours.
Okay.
We're busy with life. We don't have time or make time for, you know, I need somebody to tell me how wonderful and great I am.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, men need that a lot. And but I do talk about, you know, the infidelity issue, and I also talk about in the book polygamy.
Uh-huh.
Because I am not against polygamy, but I think that it is for certain people. I have more respect for a man who is within the law, you know, if the laws were to change, who is trying to responsibly take care of more than one woman and all of his children, you know, legally. I have more respect for that than I do men that go around impregnating women all over town.
Exactly.
So, or, you know, a husband who has children outside of his marriage and he's not taking care, you know, I don't have respect for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then with the ratio of women to men, especially in the black community, mm-hmm. because it's even higher within the black community than it is, you know, across the board. I think that some women need to consider that because a lot of women are sharing their men anyway. And I just think that it should be considered. I think it should be discussed and talked about. And I'm not saying that it's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's something that should be looked into for certain individuals. And I'll say it again. It's not for everybody. And every man is not craving attention from a lot of women, too. So, you know, I want to be clear about that, too. I don't think that's every man, but men have a greater capacity to do that than women.
Okay. Now, let's see.
You got quiet?
Yeah, because I never expected you to.
It's all good. Believe me, I get a lot of feedback on that part. Right,
yeah, because, you know, you hear that. A beautiful African-American woman saying that she thinks it's all right for polygamy, but I got your point. I see what you're saying because I think it would cut down on all these single women out here with all these babies and no fathers. I think it would. You hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah.
And then I guarantee you it'll stop.
Yeah. And I just think the mindset about marriage in general needs to
be changed.
You know.
Yeah.
There's so much romanticism attached with being married, and I'm not saying that two people can't be in love and, you know, the whole nine yards, but I just think that we have a different, what do I want to say? This Western culture, you know, is all romantic and less about the business of why two people get married and, you know, what is going to be the result and how are we going into this? And, you know, it's all about, oh, he loves me. You know, people get married so fast before they even know each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know what kind of family you're marrying into.
Oh,
and I think all of those things need to be discussed. And like I said, I think our mindset needs to be changed. And not that two people can't be romantic, but there needs to be more than just romanticism.
And you know what? You are so true. That is so true. Because we get on this fantasy of, oh, love, 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 love.
Right.
And
signing on.
I totally agree with you on that, because marriage is work. If it's nothing
it's
else,
a lot of work.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say that one of the things that I say often is WISE equals WORK, in my opinion. That's why I'm not that excited about being a wife again.
Yeah.
I know how much work is involved.
Yeah. And I wish I would know. I promise
you,
I wish I would know.
And nobody tells you either.
No.
Nobody tells you. They don't.
And I always said, like I said, getting married at 38 years old, you know, my son was 18 years old when I got married. So it's like, and I had served in the military. I've been places and stuff. And then I go and I marry this country boy because we're in Louisiana. He's from the country. And you got two people that are so totally. I'm more of an upbeat, out and about person. My husband's more laid back and likes to work in the yard, like he's out mowing the lawn right now. Okay, that's thanks to me. I like the romantic part of marriage, but it's not all of the glitz and glitter like everybody says.
Yeah.
When you get down to the nitty gritty, it's a whole different ball game. It's so much work and being self-sufficient.
I think more work for the wife than the husband.
You're right.
But that's my opinion. Everybody
else. Elaine, you are so correct.
I think so. We
work more harder to make everything happen than the man does.
Yes.
He just sits back.
Well, and that's biblical, too. If you go to Proverbs 31, I mean, that's exactly what they're telling you right there.
Yep.
There's all of the work that's filled out for that woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the man is known for, his job is to be well known in the community.
Yeah, he walk around the crowd with his chest stuck out.
Right, but she's got a million things on her list of things to do for one day. So, you know.
So you really, now I feel a little bit better. I don't feel so bad. Now that you.
Don't feel bad. But, you know, I think being married is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And I just want women to know before they get into it what it is they're going to be getting into, because I promise I had absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought, now, what kind of trick did I get myself into? Yeah. When I got married, let me see, I was engaged at 19 and married by the time I was 20.
Oh, man. So you didn't wait no time. You said, let's get this done. But you were married for 20 years, right?
No. I have been divorced for 20 years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was married for 5.
Oh, okay. All right, see?
Yeah.
Well, you said, oh, hold on, wait a minute. Let me fix this real quick here.
I just was not prepared for that. And like I've said before, I just don't think that everybody is made for marriage, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want, you know, people to understand, that there's nothing wrong with you if you don't ever get married.
Exactly. And see,
there's absolutely nothing wrong.
I was talking on one of the other shows, and somebody made that remark that God made two people and they're supposed to be married, and I had to correct them real quick. I said, and I think it's in Ephesians, when Paul was talking to the church of Corinth, and I told him, I said, you have to be
single. Yeah.
He was single. He had got divorced.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was single, and his job was to serve the Lord and to do what the Lord said. So he didn't have time for the wife and the kids and the whole nine yards. He did the work, and it's women in the Bible that also never got married. So the concept that he says we all need to have somebody, that's not true, because if it was true, then he's contradicting. We're saying that God is contradicting himself according to the Bible.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So
I've had that discussion with a man too.
And I guess the young lady got offensive because I said it, because she was just definitely sure that's how it went. And no, if you know the stories of the Bible and the history behind the Bible, there were a lot of single people in the Bible that never got married.
Yeah.
So
goes back to saying about how our society is set up, because we think that everybody is supposed to be coupled.
Yeah.
You know, and then we look at other couples and we think, oh, wish, you know, I had that, or I wish I had somebody. Well, you don't know everything about them. You know, you've seen this, and not that there's anything wrong with a particular couple, because they may have this wonderful relationship or whatever, but that may not be what God has planned for you.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
And there's nothing wrong with what God has planned for you.
Exactly.
So,
and
yeah.
You don't have to
be in a society where there's something wrong with you if you're single.
Or you have to be, if you're single and you're a beautiful woman, she's got to be gay. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Stop
and
tell her she's got to be gay.
Yeah, I'm sure that comes up a lot.
Oh,
or, you know, what's wrong with her?
Yeah.
You know, and I have had somebody ask me, so what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? If you don't, you know, you know, you can't get a man. Oh, I can get one. Do I want one?
That's the question you need to ask me.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I don't even address that stuff anymore because, you know, you know, you find yourself on the defense all the time, you know, when you're answering to people why you're not married or, you know, why you don't want to be married. You know, I'm just trying to speak on behalf of the women who want to be married and have never been married. And I think, again, marriage is a beautiful institution. And if it is for you, then these are some of the things that you need to prepare yourself for.
Exactly.
So that's what the book is, you know, about. And then I do have another controversial section in the book. It's the last section called Single, Saved, and Sexually Satisfied, because I personally, I don't think it's healthy for an adult to go through life without having sex.
Okay.
And
I believe you on that.
And, you know, I do know what the Bible says, but I just feel like that having sex outside of marriage is no bigger sin than any of the other sins we commit. And that's for everybody's own. You know, I would never try to change anybody's mind about that. And if they think that it's going to be better for them to be married under any kind of circumstances just to keep from having sex outside of marriage, then I would never try to change their mind on that. But, you know, I just share my views on that subject because that comes up with, you know, single women a lot.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, that's one of the main, you know, they're Christians and they want to follow the word, they want to please God, and I think that's beautiful and wonderful, and I, you know, share with them how much they really need to have an open discussion with God about it. Because God knows you individually. He knows your body. He knows you. He knows what you can take, what you can't take. You know, and God knows how to answer your prayers according to His will. So I do address that. And but I, you know, I don't beat people over the head with the Bible, especially based on whatever decision that they make, because none of us are going to be around to answer for someone else.
Exactly. And we can't go to heaven or hell for that person.
So, but I needed to discuss that. And because that is a big, you know, a big issue with single women, especially in the sexual society that we live in. You know, everything is sex, and so we're presented with that all the time. And I don't think it's a cop out, but if someone else thinks it's a cop out or whatever, then you do what your spirit is telling you to do.
Exactly.
You know, but I think sex is one of those things that is healthy for the body, and so I'm not one of those that's saying, and you need to not be having sex if you're not going to get anywhere on hot pants.
Now, can I ask you that, since we're talking on that subject? What about the toys? Is that an alternative to actually having relations with a human being?
Well, I mean, and we're just talking about my own opinion. You know, once again, I don't judge people for the decisions that they make and what they decide to do. I think there is a scripture, and it's Old Testament, which, you know, a lot of people don't want to address Old Testament because it's before Christ and so on. But I do like to refer to the Bible sometimes, just because I know that universally we all, you know, kind of use, you know, we use it as a guide. But there is a scripture, and I'm sorry that I don't know the scripture. I don't even know which book it's in. But this is when they were trying to get to Jesus, you know, we're going through the lineage. And back then, God would kill a man. He said, it is better for you to spill your seed in the belly of a whore than to cast it to the ground. I don't advocate masturbation, if I think that's what you were asking me. However a person reduces that in their mind or what's going to make them feel better about what they do. Because, I mean, we're sexual beings. And, you know, everybody has to come to this, their own conclusion for what works best for them in their life.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's a good question. I didn't address that in the book, but that's good. But
because we try to, in a sense, we want to justify. Okay, I'm not with the man. You know, I'm not doing nothing wrong. So if I masturbate, I'm not committing any sin. You know what I'm saying? Some people think that.
I know they do. I would think if I would get it like this. If they're both sin, then
look, a sin is a sin is a sin.
Wouldn't you better get the full enjoyment? While I'm sinning, let me go and sin right. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a good one,
though. Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, since, and you know, and it, when you think about single women, and I know, if I'm not mistaken, a while back, they were even sharing their boyfriends because it's not that many African-American men that are not locked up. So a lot of single women, when it comes to dating, they were sharing with other women, and it was like a phase for a while. I don't know if it's still going on, but I remember them talking about it where the women were sharing the men. So we can't really frown upon the cheating thing as some of us condone it. You know what I'm saying? Because he is cheating, even though he's outright doing it in your face, he's cheating. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we in a, like you said, society has really has a major impact on every part of our lives and every decision that we make. And that's really bad. In a sense.
It is. Yeah, it is in a sense because society is warped anyway.
Uh-huh.
And when you don't make up your own mind and do what's best for you.
That's right.
And you take on, you know, the ideas of other people, then it can be dangerous.
Yeah.
It can be dangerous. And we, you know, we get away from our core values. And just, you know, based on all of the problems that are in the black community with the lack of, you know, marriageable men, and then you have all these women who want to be married, and black women are the least likely to date or marry outside of their way. So then you've got that element. So you're just going to have a lot of black women who are single.
Exactly. But, you know, I was blessed in a sense. I don't want to say blessed, but during my military time, I got a chance to touch every flavor that they could ever have. So I am well-rounded when it comes to being outside of the race because I had that opportunity. Now, if the opportunity was not there, my opinion would probably be a little different, and I would have frowned upon the idea that you are dating outside your race. But I had that opportunity to date Filipinos, Chinese, Hispanics, whites. I mean, I had that opportunity. And
you came back to black, huh?
Talking about
That's what they said. Black women are least likely to date or marry outside of school.
We'll play around for a second or two.
Right, we may try it out.
But we got to come back home.
About that black man. I know it's something. Yeah, it's on my goodness.
You're making me feel blush here. Now, let's stop that.
There's something about, look, I just don't want one as a husband, but there's something about it.
You don't ask me?
Well, actually, I wouldn't mind having one for a husband. I just don't want to be his wife at the same time.
Yeah.
Isn't that just selfish? That's so selfish.
Yes, you are very much so selfish, ma'am.
I know.
Society is totally against your concept, okay?
Right. Now, can we figure out a way for you to be married to me, but I am not married to you?
You. I don't have to change my name or nothing. You don't have to move in.
I wouldn't mind changing my name. That'd be fine. I can do that.
Look, you don't have to move in. You don't have to stay.
Oh, no, you ain't got to move in now.
It's so funny.
I know.
It's
bad.
You feel that way.
I keep saying maybe by the time I'm 60 or so, maybe I'll have a change of heart and be ready.
Now, can I ask this without being personal? Are you dating right now?
You know, I really don't date because dating usually leads to relationships, and relationships are, you know, the gateway into marriage, and I know I'm not trying to go there, so it's just, you know, and I'm trying to do what I'm trying to do, and I just can't juggle a man and writing books and selling books, and it's too much for my mind right now. I've been trying to do both. And, you know, occasionally if someone asks me out, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go. Just getting prepared for the date just makes me want to say, can we do this another time? You know. I don't know.
You don't want to put up with the hassle of getting dressed and doing it.
I got to paint my toes.
I got to
curl my hair.
Yeah. And I got to act like I really enjoy this.
Maybe I will, but, you know, just be getting ready for it. I don't know. I'll say this. I haven't met anyone yet that has made me feel like they would be worth all the effort.
What?
I think that's what it is. That's for me, but, you know, I'm sure there's some great guys out there that would be worth the effort. I have not run across them.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not, you know, I'm not out there on the dating circuit either. If I was out there really just trying to date, then maybe I would think differently. You know, that there are some men who are worth it, but I just haven't met them. And then I'm at that age where most of the guys who are around my age are married.
Uh-huh.
So there probably isn't around the age range that I would be interested in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, are you saying you're a cougar?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
My range is very small. I'm 45, so I definitely don't want anything younger than 40.
Okay, that's
if I can help it. If I can help it. And maybe nothing older than 52. So between that, you know, all old men are married.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, by our age, you're right. Most men are married. That are going to be married. They are. You're right. They're going to. But it's just so strange now. And I always said, now that I'm married, and I think I've been married 7, going on 8 years.
Okay.
I'm saying to myself, okay, I wouldn't want to be single right now because it's so hard out there. You know.
Well. I don't know if being single is any harder than being married.
Yeah. I guess the part about trying to find a mate, which we're not supposed to.
Well, okay, so if you're looking to be in a relationship, then it might be rough.
Yeah.
It might be rough. That's probably true.
Because I hear a lot.
That's true, but I enjoy being single. Every day I just love it.
Yeah.
I do. But, you know, I know that's not everybody's reality. And it's easy for me to enjoy it because I've seen the other.
Yes, you've been on the other side. Well, see,
right.
I have friends that are single, and they are desperate for just a little bit of attention from the other. The opposite.
I know.
And I've never been that way, even when I was single. But I think I accidentally find boyfriends because lots of times I don't even be looking. But I'm an outgoing person, and I like to talk, and I got a little smart mouth. So, you know, when you think, and you're not even, I'm not even flirting with them, but if you talk to me long enough, it seems like I'm flirting with them, but I'm not. And they, I like the way you are. You got a catchiness about you. You got
well, some
snack,
people are natural magnets, and you're probably just a natural magnet.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
You have that personality, that engaging personality that attracts them.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you don't have that and you're single and you're wanting to be in a relationship, then it does make it that much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, women today, and I'm speaking of black women, we have, in my opinion, such an arrogant attitude about what we want in a man.
Yeah.
Can't be this, can't be that, you gotta have this, you gotta, you know, and I just think that that is a whole nother problem within it. I mean, we've got a long list of issues that keep our men and our women from getting together.
Exactly.
Exactly. There are a lot of things, so.
But you know what? I have to say I fell into that category at one time, too, because I was like that.
We've all been there. The older you get, the shorter that list gets.
Oh, yes.
You've got to be at least 6 feet. You've got to make this kind of money. You've got to, you know, all the little stuff that doesn't matter.
Exactly, the stuff that really don't matter. That's what we really focus on.
You can't fit that bill and then be beating your behind on a regular basis.
Woo, no.
Wasn't that on the list?
Yeah. Exactly, but you know what? That's exactly what happens. You have these beautiful women with these beautiful men, and if you tell her to take off all her makeup, you see the black eyes, you see the few bruises all over her. Yeah, you're so right about that. You are so right. But he loves me.
Yeah.
But he's kicking my tail every opportunity he gets.
Yeah, oh, I got a man at least.
Yeah.
At least I got a man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my sister always say, a piece of a man ain't better than having a whole man. It's not.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and you know, we settle a lot, too. We settle a lot for a lot of stuff that's unnecessary in a marriage. We do.
Yeah. Well, because so many people, they see, women, they see the opportunity to get married. They just take it because they think being married and being divorced is better than never having been married at all.
Mm.
And that's a sad reality because that's just a lot to go through just to say that you've been married. Even if you go into it knowing it's not going to work,
mm-hmm.
all the signs are there that it's not going to work,
mm-hmm.
but you just do it anyway because you think this is your last chance.
Exactly.
And you think that you can make it work.
And you can change it.
It'll work out. It'll change. Yeah, I can change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which that rarely works. So. Yeah, it's an interesting topic that I don't think we'll ever get finished discussing, but I just, you know, want to encourage the single black women to, you know, not feel so desperate because, you know, find out what it is that you are really lacking inside when you are so desperate to have this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something going on inside. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with desiring marriage. It's the desperateness that goes along with that. I want a husband. I want any old kind of husband. Because that's the attitude that I see out there.
Exactly. I need to be connected with somebody.
Yeah, I need to be connected with somebody.
And it's not necessarily... And who you want to be sometimes, and then the person that you pick to be connected to might not be the person that God wants you with. But we get them because they're right there and convenient.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah, and they're the only ones that have asked so far, so I better go for it because this might be my last chance.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And yeah. that's a sad state to be in when you're feeling like, well, this is it. Let me just do it.
Exactly. And, you know, you said something earlier about the arrogance of us when we got our BAs and our PhDs and our nice cars.
Oh, you don't even have to have all that and be arrogant.
Arrogant, that's true. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're so right, Pastor. But you know what? We want all these in our men, but what's in us?
Yeah. Yeah. What I wonder sometimes is the arrogance that, well, I think black women have gone through this feeling of being at the bottom of the totem pole. So, as far as women go,
mm-hmm.
And so we have built ourselves up. We've called ourselves queens and princesses, and, you know, I'm a Nubian princess, I'm a Nubian queen, whatever. And we've gone through this thing to build ourselves up, and it has turned into arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk about what we're not going to put up with, and because why is it that every other race of women have to put up with stuff from their men? They don't have to.
Okay.
And we're the ones that, you know, are the least married.
Okay.
Out of all the races of women.
Okay, I need you to step off my feet, okay?
Well, and then I'll go a step further, and this is another biblical reference, and it's in Isaiah, excuse me, and I can't call the chapter. Here I go again, calling out a scripture. I want to say it's chapter 8, but I'm not real sure. But God was angry at the society of Jewish women
because uh-huh.
they were arrogant.
Uh-huh.
They were so arrogant. He was just like, oh, okay, God, thank you so much. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take your man, and I'm going to take your hair, because I guess all these women had all this beautiful hair. And when you think about it, out of every race of women, black women have more hair issues than anybody. We have low self-esteem when it comes to our hair, because we're always trying to, you know, we got the nappies against the straights,
mm-hmm.
the straights against the nappies, you know, because I have heard women with, you know, their hair chemically relaxed saying, why are they going around with their hair on a nappy like that?
Mm-hmm.
Then we have, you know, women with, you know, natural hair that, like, you know, have no respect for women who put chemicals in their hair.
And
work out because of our hair. I mean, we have more hair issues than anybody.
Exactly.
And you know how we stand with the men.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, before it's over, God talking to these women, seven of y'all are going to be begging to marry one man just so you can say you got a husband.
So has that come true?
I was mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes me wonder, you know, I wonder if, you know, we may be getting a little spanking right now because we have built ourselves up so much, you know. Because according to science, black women have the least problem with self-esteem because we don't care about, you know, our weight. You know, we'll gain weight. We still think we got it going on. Because, I mean, you know, black men, they like big women.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to that, we don't have a problem with that. I mean, I think maybe it has made us a little arrogant.
Okay.
We're this, we're that, we're not going to put up with that, we're, you know, it don't matter, my man got to have this, and I got to have that, I need to be driving this, and he better be driving that, and he better make sure I have a house like this, and, you know, you just hear that a lot from us, and I can't say that I've heard that from any other race of women,
mm-hmm.
and I think that we have turned into, you know, some arrogant women. And it just makes me wonder if we're not suffering the consequences of that. Now, that was just my little,
you know what,
observation.
That is an awesome. I love that because you are so true about us.
And I'm talking to myself as well. I'm not
I said, get off my toes. That's why I was telling you, you know how they say if I'm stepping on your toes, well, you were just stepping all over my toes because I had that attitude, not to say that, and everything totally opposite happened with me. Now, I had this particular, like, if you were in prison, don't even come this way, because I used to work in a prison, so I do not want nobody from prison. Not to say that they can't be reformed, but because I was a correction officer, I know what they do in prison. I have no desire to view the man from prison, okay? Or we say we want this big, beautiful house, and he's got to have this type of job. It ain't like that. Reality is not like that. That's what we puff ourselves up, like you said. And
when we should be desiring a man that's going to treat us well, that is, you know, going to work every day and bringing home his paycheck, with, you know, whatever that paycheck is. You know, if we're this aggressive and progressive woman, we want our man to be trying to do everything, too. I want him to, you know, to be striving to start his own business. And, well, that may not be who you marry. Is he good to you? You know, does he meet the important qualities?
Exactly. And
but, you know, what's important to us now is not the things that should be important to us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But we allow society, too, to dictate how and what we watch those stupid reality shows, and I want my man just like that, you know.
It's
so much that we, and it's just like it's gotten worse. You know, back in the early days in the 60s, 70s, 80s, we weren't too much into what was, TV didn't influence how we saw life. But as
We didn't sit in front of it all day long back then.
Now, golly, everything is a reality show. If you go to the store to pick up a dog, some groceries, it's a reality show. So, and it's gotten to the point where we're so caught up in this that I'm not selling for nothing less. And there was a time when we did not go and chase after the man. The man chased after us.
Now, the way it's supposed to be.
And you know what? Now women are so bold. To be able to deal with, and then we're teaching our daughters and we're teaching our sons the exact same thing. We're teaching them. We're teaching the girls to be aggressive, push, slap, beat the other girl up, and she smile at the guy that she's even thinking about talking to. Now, she ain't made a decision to approach him, but she don't want nobody else approaching her. You know what I'm saying? And it's sad that it's to the point where we're doing this, you know. And we never take time out to learn who we are first before we even think about talking to somebody.
Right. Well, and that's what the book is about. Learn who you are. Learn what it is that you really want. Instead of, you know, just assuming that you want a husband. Why do you think you even want one? Have you even considered the real reasons why you think you want a husband? You know,
because
most people don't even have that kind of discussion with themselves. You just think you want one.
Exactly.
You know, what are your reasons for wanting one?
What do you want?
And do you even know what that means? Do you know what that is going to mean?
Exactly. And then, too, like you said, with our arrogance, we start listing off these things we want in that man.
Uh-huh, yes.
And none of them really truly says love.
None of them.
I just want him to love me and treat me right.
Uh-huh.
And we have to keep in mind too. You got to remember, African American women, by leaps and bounds, is just moving. We're just moving. So you want him to be the same as you, and you want him to make this kind of, you're making more than he is in some situations.
Right.
So how are you going to ask for him to make more when he's in a position where he can't?
Right.
Because you already got that.
Yeah, there's a to deal with some simpler answers. And, you know, maybe there are some simple answers in some instances, but we make life so complicated, it's hard to get to those simple answers.
Exactly, when life really isn't. It's all what you make of it.
And
if you want your life complicated, it's your life, and that's how it's going to be, and you're going to wind up attracting complicated people.
Yes.
And complicated relationships.
That is very true.
And you wonder why you're not happy. Oh, I want a man, but okay. Do you want yourself? And some women don't even love themselves.
Right.
But you got all the love to give to somebody else.
Right, and you have to watch the woman who says that she doesn't want to spend time alone, or she's tired of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't enjoy spending time with yourself, then how do you expect someone else to enjoy spending time with you?
Exactly. That's exactly. And that's what I love being by myself at times. I don't have to have a man in my life, and I know that's not right for me to say when I am a married woman, but if time could turn back around, I would have never gotten married. And if this doesn't work out for me, it ain't. I promise you, I'm not doing it again. Because you miss the singleness.
I've heard women say that. And in fact, every Thursday I host a girl talk event.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the women who come who are divorced,
uh-huh,
you know, they say that, oh, I'll never do it again. And then you have these single women there who have never been married, and they just can't fathom why anybody would, you know, they look at me like, well, maybe you were just scarred. Well, maybe I was. I don't think that I was scarred from being married. It's just that I know what it means to be married, and I just don't have that desire. Now, for me, there was just nothing about being married that I enjoyed.
Really?
I can't recall not one thing.
Are you serious?
I honestly cannot recall. No. If it was not Roger's doing it.
So I mean, so what did you tell your husband? I mean, baby, I don't like this anymore.
Well, that's a whole other
show. Okay.
Situation.
All right.
That was another show.
Okay.
But just reflecting back, I can just tell you that I didn't. Now, you know, I would like to be in love again and, you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that I have to get married.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, but, you know, women who have never been married, they just don't get that.
Mm-mm.
It's because they just lack that experience. And so when they hear, you know, divorced women say, you know, I don't ever have to do that again, or, you know, I've had the experience, and that's fine, but I don't have to have another husband. Well, you know, and then, of course, there are some divorced women who do want to get married again. But I think that there are some women who really are made
to be married.
Wives that who are made for marriage, and I just think it's beautiful. I mean, I get excited when I see it,
mm-hmm,
but I just know that that's not who I am, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm okay with it more than people on the outside looking like.
Exactly.
Oh, sure. The next time it won't be like, well, it's not even about the next time.
Yeah.
I just know who I am. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with it. Huh.
Yeah, they get so sad. Oh, please don't be sad. It's okay.
Look, I'm living with it. Fine for me.
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, you have people who always want to hook you up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Really. I'm fine, okay? Oh, she must be so lonely. Not at all.
Missy Lane, how can I get, or how can our audience get a copy of your book?
Okay. Well, I wouldn't mind having a husband. I just don't want to be somebody's wife. It's an e-book.
Okay.
Which means that it is downloadable only.
Okay.
And the book is distributed by the Vizmo.com. So, it's kind of a long address. Hopefully you can have a link.
Okay.
On your show, but it's thebizmo.com/user/store/ElaineFlowers.
Okay. I can put that.
Yeah, so it's downloadable. only used either when you save it to your computer or if you have one of those reading devices. Or you can, you know, print it out and read it at the computer. And it's about 80 pages, so it's, you know, a short read. And, of course, it's nonfiction, so it's not like, you know, fiction where you, you know, have to read it all at once and you feel like you got to read it all at once. But I've been getting some really great feedback about the book.
Oh.
And so I've just been very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
I really have. I never, ever planned to write nonfiction because fiction is my first love.
Yeah.
And so I'm really pleased with this first effort at nonfiction. Mm-hmm. I really am.
Okay. Now, do you do talking engagements at all?
I do. I do, and I love to do them, especially accompanied with this book, but I do them with all of my books. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Okay.
To get together with some ladies, or, you know, men and women, and discuss this, because, you know, it's a topic that, you know, you can never run out of angles.
Exactly.
To discuss on this. On this particular topic, because we're still black men and women are still struggling trying to get together after all these centuries.
Yep.
And coming across more and more things to keep us apart.
Exactly. That is so true. Now, if I wanted to email you, or do you have a website?
I actually do not have a website.
Mm-hmm.
I am on Facebook, Elaine Flowers on Facebook, author Elaine Flowers actually. And what are some of those other? Twitter and MySpace.
You so like me.
I know. I'm trying to stay current.
It's hard.
I know. And I see color. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one. That's
yes, I am.
Social network. Oh, okay.
Yes, I am.
Seems like there's something else I've been doing, but I can't. But I do plan to have a website shortly.
Okay.
And then my other books are, of course, available wherever books are sold.
Okay.
And I'm published through Holly Grove Publishing.
Okay.
And, you know, Amazon, and then in the major book retailers or sellers.
Okay, you're talking about It's Mourning, Torn Lovers in Their Stories, Black Beauty, and Broken Appointments, right?
Yes, Broken Appointments will be coming out in December.
Okay, it's coming out. Yeah. I was going to ask you what was your next book, but we answered that one.
Okay. Yeah, that one's coming. I'm excited about that one, too.
That is so awesome. Well, Miss Flowers, it was lovely talking to you, and I will be hitting you up on Facebook.
It was great talking with you as well.
I'm going to go ahead and put it on Facebook for them to listen to our interview on Blog Talk Radio, Chocolate Lady 64. Okay. So when you get
Thank
an opportunity.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. When you get an opportunity, I mean, you can always, you know, Blog Talk Radio and listen to the show you want to anytime you want to. So you'll be able to hear this interview, sweetie, okay?
Yes. Thank you so much. I have enjoyed it.
You're great to talk to. I love the conversation. And you've actually invited me.
We'll have to do it again with the next book.
Exactly. I definitely want to. Definitely. Okay? So I'm going to let you go, and I want to thank you very much again. And you have a nice evening.
You do the same, Kalita.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.